a four-part series, actually five-part. It's titled The Cast of Christmas. The Cast of Christmas. And what we're going to be doing over the next 4 weeks and then Christmas Eve is looking at the different players or voices that made up the Christmas story. And so we're calling it The Cast of Christmas. And here's the first group, or here's the next four Sundays, what it's going to look like. The first will be the prophets. We're going to talk about the voice of the prophets in the Christmas story. The next Sunday, we're going to talk about the angels and their part that they played. Then we're going to talk about the shepherds and the role that they had on that birth announcement evening. Then the next day is the Magi. And then finally, on Christmas Eve, we're going to talk about how you and I are a part of the amazing story, and we'll call it The Cast of Christmas. Well, today is all about the prophets, the prophets. And you can go ahead and put that up, Rhian, the next slide. So the prophets are the people who spoke of the coming of Christ before it happened. The prophet Micah, who lived a couple hundred years before Jesus, spoke with pinpoint accuracy that Jesus would be born in a place called Bethlehem. The prophet Isaiah, who we'll be looking at today, lived some 600 years before the birth of Christ. And what he did was prophesy with accuracy some details about the birth of Christ. As I thought about it, it's like somebody today in 2019 speaking about something that will happen in the year 2619, over 600 years in advance. And so the prophet Isaiah had a voice. He's a part of the cast of Christmas. He's one of the characters in it, and we're going to look at that today. Now, in your notes, there's one verse I'd like for us to use as our text today, Isaiah 9:6. And let's read that together. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah gives Jesus five different names or titles. They are descriptors of who he will be to us. And this is 600 years before Christ is born. And so the message from the prophets, and you can put this in your notes on your sermon listening guide, is this. It is you and I need to wait patiently. The voice of Isaiah is that we must learn to wait patiently for him to do certain things in our lives. There are some 24 days until Christmas. And if you have little children or grandchildren in your home or lives, there will be a waiting period in which they will become anxious for Christmas Day. It's just the nature of a child. They have to wait until that day comes, and they have to do it patiently for them to open their presents. As adults, we too need to learn to wait patiently for God to fulfill certain things in our lives. And it's not always easy, just as with children. As adults, we are not prone to wanting to wait patiently. But the prophets in the Old Testament are great models and examples of what it means to wait patiently for God to deliver what he has promised to us. So in your notes, what I'd like to do today is I would like to look at the five different names of Christ and how Jesus' birth, what it means to us, and what the names of Christ, as we personally apply it, what he wants to do for us. So number one, let's get started. The first name that Isaiah gives to Jesus is this. He will be called Wonderful. He will be called Wonderful, and you can feel this in. He will amaze you. He will amaze you. When you think about the word wonderful, It means astonishing. It means marvelous. It means amazing. I got to thinking about the notes that I write to people, the emails I send or the text messages, and I realize I use the word wonderful a lot. You probably do too. And here's what it means. It's a positive something or experience, and you're conveying that back to people. It was a wonderful night together. It was a wonderful meal, or it was a wonderful experience. And so Isaiah says that Jesus, one of his names will be called Wonderful. Now, when you think of the Christmas season, and you think that Jesus can amaze us, the problem is year after year when we go through this, we kind of get into a routine or a pattern, and it's just kind of we can kind of get stagnant, or I can. And so I want us to understand that the month of December and the next few weeks can be a month of amazement when we discover who Jesus is to us. In the book of Habakkuk is going through a tough time. And he says, "How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen?" You might be in a place today where in the middle of your valley, and it's a tough time, and you wonder if it's ever going to end. That's where Habakkuk was. And he continued to express the struggle of his life, but then in verse 5, God answers him. Let's read it together. "Look at the nations and watch, and be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if it were told." Listen, through Christ, God has the power to bring amazement into our life. He has the power to do something that we cannot do ourselves. And to Habakkuk, he says, "Look and watch, and I can and will do something in your life that will amaze you. Even you wouldn't believe it even if it was told." And so we find in the book of Luke, when the shepherds responded to the great vision of the angel saying that Jesus would be born, and they went to find him. And after they left the birthplace of Jesus, they began to share that story with other people. And you know the word that's used? When the people heard their story, it says they were amazed. You know what that means? Not only will God and can God do an amazing thing in your life during December or any time, listen, he can take your life, and as you share it with other people, you become an amazement to other people. That is the power of the relationship with Christ. Isaiah gives him the title, "He's wonderful, he can amaze us." And I thought a great prayer for the month of December is for us to say, "God, do something new in me. Take me above the routine and the sense of repetition. Do something fresh. Make it an amazing month," because that's who he is to us. Number two, the second title that Isaiah gives to Christ is this: he's a counselor. He's a counselor. And the fill-in word there is he will direct you. He will direct you. You know, we all need counselors in our life. You know what they do? They guide us. They direct us. They give a sense of purpose and direction. And Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 in your notes, it's a great verse on the counseling power of God. Let's read it together. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Let me give you a simple connection point in that verse. It says, if you and I acknowledge him, he will direct us. Acknowledge him, he will direct us. The principle, whenever we acknowledge him, he will direct us. You may be a high school student here today, and you're wondering what to do with your life. If you acknowledge him, he says he'll direct you. Maybe you're in college, and or you've already graduated, and you're saying, what do I do with my life? What's my next step? Here's what it says. If you acknowledge him, he will direct you. Maybe you're thinking about marriage, and you're saying, God, how does this work into my life? Who should I marry? If you acknowledge him, it says he'll direct you. Maybe you've got children or kids and you need wisdom. You say, what do I do in this situation? If you acknowledge him, he will direct you. He's a counselor. Or how about this, a career? Do I stay with the same job or do I go somewhere else? I don't know. You acknowledge him, it says he will direct you. And maybe even retirement. What do I do with my life? If you acknowledge him, he'll direct you. And so Jesus wants to be not only wonderful and bring amazement into our life, he wants to counsel us and direct our steps, and he'll go before us. Number three, and this is one of my favorite points, the third title Isaiah gives to Jesus is he'll be the mighty God, the mighty God. You see, he will empower you. He will empower you. The word mighty, it means to be strong or to be a champion, especially in fighting for God's people. So there's a great story in the book of Judges about a fellow by the name of Gideon. And it's a great example to us all of how God empowers people. Read with me verse 12. It's in your notes. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." An angel appears to Gideon, and he says, he has an announcement, and he says, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." There's that word, mighty. Gideon struggles because he's not a mighty warrior. As a matter of fact, in verse 15, tells us the insights into his life. Let's read it. "But Lord," Gideon asked, "how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." The angel of God called him a mighty warrior, and Gideon said, "No, I am the weakest, and I am the least." Here's what happened. Gideon had a view of himself, and God had a different view. And the view of God towards Gideon was this: God saw something in Gideon's potential that Gideon did not see in himself. You may be here today, and like Gideon, you may feel like you're the weakest and you're the least. Let me tell you what happened. Gideon responded to the call the best he could. He finally put his faith and trust in God's calling on his life. But here's how it unfolded. Gideon started with being the weakest and feeling like he was the least in his family. Over time, God took some of his mightiness, the mighty God, he took a portion of himself and he deposited into Gideon's life in the very place where he felt like he was the weakest and he was the least. There was a transfer of the mighty God into Gideon, and then Gideon became a mighty warrior. God may be calling you to do something you've never done before. You may feel like, God, there's something in me I want to pursue, but we don't think we can do it. You know what God wants to do? He wants to take a part of his mightiness and transfer it into the place where we feel like we're the weakest and we're the least. Gideon became a mighty warrior because of the deposit of God's mightiness into his life. He'll do the same for you and for me. So he's wonderful. He's a counselor. He directs us. Number three, he empowers us. Number four, the fourth title that Isaiah gives to Jesus is this: he's an everlasting father. An everlasting father. It means it's never ending. It's continuous existence, and he will love you. He will love you. This past week, I was watching a major network during the news time, and they actually had some very touching stories on about people doing good for other people. There were three that I can remember. One was a little girl who was about 10. She had cancer and was going through treatments, and there was a sports team that kind of adopted her and embraced her and so forth. And the sports team won some kind of a championship, and they got a ring. And they had a ring made for the little girl. And so they had the television cameras on her, and somebody took a box and had the ring in it, and they gave it to the little girl. She'd lost her hair and had a bandana on. And when she opened up the box, the tears just started to flow. It's very touching. There's a second story of probably a middle school, freshman, sophomore, and high school guy who was colorblind. And the principal of the school, maybe you saw it, the principal of the school, whether he funded it himself or he got others, they bought this kid a pair of glasses to help with his colorblindness. That's right. He was also colorblind. And so they bought this kid a pair of glasses, and he put them on for the first time, and he just got very emotional because he saw colors he could never see before. There was a third one that touched my heart. It was at a basketball game, must have been at halftime. It was on the court. Little boy, I don't know, 10, 12 years old, hadn't seen his father for a year and a half. The father was in the military. And the kid's at one end of the court, and he looks up, and there's his father at the other end. And he's in his uniform, and he comes walking across the court, and the boy starts to run, and the father starts to run, and they embrace. It's a very touching, moving moment in which they embraced each other. An everlasting father wants to embrace you. And whenever you and I move toward him, when we take a step his way, you know what he does? He runs toward us, and he will embrace us. He's an everlasting father. He will always be there for us. Read with me Psalm 27:10 in your notes. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. The other verse as well. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. You know what your greatest gift from God might be this Christmas season? Maybe it's feeling his embrace in a whole new way during the month of December. It's just allowing him to come and love you, to come and embrace you in the midst of our brokenness and struggle. And let him just be an everlasting father to our hearts. There's a fifth one. The fifth title he gives us about Jesus is that he'll be called the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. You see, when you're a prince, you're the chief or you're the captain. And he will give peace to you. He'll give peace to you. Let's read together John 16:33 in your notes. I've told you these things, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. He says, in the world we're going to have trouble and struggle, and December is a power-packed schedule month. But he says, I want you to know one thing. I want you to somehow embrace and experience and know this thing called peace. I want to give it to you. Paul put it this way in Colossians. He says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. The word rule, it means to umpire. It means that our peace is what guides us. And when we're mindful of how much we pack into the schedule or the decisions of where we go and what we do, we must protect the peace factor in our life. And Paul says we are called to experience peace. So the prophet says, hey, sometimes we just have to wait patiently. First, wait for him who is wonderful, who can amaze us. Secondly, we wait upon the one who's a counselor, who can direct our paths. Thirdly, he's a mighty God. And maybe you're here today, and the God's message to you is this. He wants to drop mightiness into your life where you and I feel the least, and we feel like we are the weakest. Number four, he's an everlasting Father. He'll love us. And number five, he's the Prince of Peace. He will give peace to us when we allow him to rule in our heart. One final verse and I'll close. Isaiah says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So as you and I wait expectantly on him, we find the renewal of him being wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we now prepare for communion and the significance of renewing our sense of faith and trust in the death and the resurrection of Christ on behalf of our sinfulness, Father, we just come to you and give thanks. And I pray today that you can take each of us and bring amazement into our lives during the next few weeks. I pray, Father, you'll help direct us. Be our counselor. I pray you'll bring mightiness into the areas where we feel weak and we feel the least. Father, I pray for the person here that needs to be loved in a new way and sense the embrace of the everlasting God, our Heavenly Father. And finally, I pray for the sense of peace that we all need as we journey through the busyness of the next few weeks. May peace be the umpire and the ruler of our heart in all that we do. And Father, now as we look to you and we think of communion and just renewing our faith and trust in Christ, I pray you'll bring a deep blessing to each heart. In Jesus' name, amen.